Hello and welcome to the Monday, November 23rd, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. This week, of course, is a big holiday week here in the US. As a result, we'll have a somewhat modified schedule for this podcast. I'm planning on only recording Monday through Wednesday, so nothing on Thursday and Friday, and maybe a little bit shorter episode for the other days, depending on what's going on. But typically, this week tends to be on the quiet side. And thanks to everybody attending the B-Sides talk on Saturday here in Jacksonville. We also have a Sands event coming up in Jacksonville in 2 weeks. So, particularly if you're local, not too late to sign up for it. Or if you do want a break from the snowstorms up north, this event is actually pretty close to the beach here. And let's start with one of my favorite detection tools, and that's DNS logs. OpenDNS, of course, has a lot of DNS logs from 65 million clients that are using OpenDNS resolvers. What they found now is that they can actually see exploit kit domains fairly early on by looking for spikes in DNS traffic. These spikes in queries for specific domain names, and of course these are often then artificial domain names, are then used to detect what landing pages are used for specific exploit kits. Of course, it's something that can also work very well internally if you're looking at your own DNS query logs. I always keep mentioning that DNS query logs are probably still a somewhat underutilized resource in many enterprises. And this weekend, we also got a nice diary from Didier showing us a social engineering trick that attackers are using to trick users into enabling macros. Typically in Word, if you open a document that just received an email or downloaded from a website, macros are disabled. So what the attacker does is that they're actually sending a document that has text that's sort of white on white, so you can't really see it. And then they basically give you instructions to be able to see the text, you have to enable macros. And indeed, the text will be visible because one thing the macro will do is it will change the color of the text. And as a result, the user thinks, they now get to see the document. Nothing bad happened, when in reality, in addition to changing the font color, there's of course a lot of other stuff that these macros are doing. And home automation standard Zigbee is getting some attention from security researchers again. Back in the day, Josh Wright wrote a tool called Killer Bee that sort of pioneered a lot of these Zigbee attacks. This new tool, SecBee, was created by CocoNOSec and recently demonstrated at the DeepSec conference in Austria. One of the flaws that's being exploited by this tool is how Zigbee devices are joining the network. Now, Zigbee is encrypted. It uses AES as an encryption standard, but it uses static keys. So whenever a new device joins the network, it first has to receive the static key being used by that network. And that key, well, it's not exactly being transmitted in the clear, but it's transmitted using a static key that's essentially part of the standard, so a publicly known key. Now, this is bad if an attacker is able to sniff your traffic while you're adding a new device to the network, but an additional trick is that the attacker can flood the network and then force a reassociation, a rejoin with the network by known devices. And as a result, the Zigbee controller will then send the key again. So essentially, an attacker can with that just trigger the rejoin and then read the secret key that's being used to encrypt all the traffic off the air. And this new tool makes this relatively easy. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow.